Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders. And now, here are your hosts, Marcus and Marisol.
Hello, Marcus.
Hello, Marisol.
How are you?
I'm dying. I'm so good. How are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. All right. And we have a special guest that's going to be with us the entire time today from CheerFit Training, Danielle Donovan. Hey, girl.
Hey, guys. How are you?
So good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for having me on the show today.
No, this is so exciting. Thank you for doing this with us.
Well, you,
of course.
You and I have kind of talked about this for a bit. I mean, probably, I would say, pre-production. I'm talking like fall. We thought that this would, well, we'd been talking a lot about a lot of different things, but we thought the new year, new you, this would be the perfect episode
this
to
is
have
perfect.
Our cheer fit expert.
thank you. Yeah, no, it's all about, you know, setting those goals for 2019 and making it your best year and how to do so. So definitely happy to jump on. And it's, yeah, perfect timing with the new year here. And it's all about that, you know, how do we move forward and make it awesome?
I need it. I must. Let's talk about 2018 before we move into 2019. How were your holidays so far, Marcus?
They were really good. They were super chill. Just got to spend some time with family. Ate some good food, and you can tell, I'm sure.
That's where I it's been very. It's been very sweet. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yes, very sweet.
It's been a very
sweet tooth has been very happy.
I have been eating apparently my emotions away or something. I don't know. But every day it's like I'm baking, you know, and it's not like I'm a baker by nature, but like I just kind of want to fill the house with smells of banana bread and, you know, cinnamon cookies. And I just eat it. Just eat it. How about you, Danielle? How have your holidays been? Are you?
Yeah, no. What was that?
I was going to say, are you like really good all year long with your diet?
No, I mean, honestly, during the holidays, when the stuff is there, it's there. You enjoy it. And it's that 80-20 rule where, you know, 80% of the time you're good, 20% of the time, you know, you enjoy it because it is the holidays. And so, yeah, they were great. You know, I spent time with family and friends and traveled a little bit to upstate New York. And yeah, I can't believe it. The holiday season is, you know, over right now. It's 2019, so they went really fast, but they were really nice.
Where are you right now, Danielle?
I'm in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Ooh.
We need to get some cheerleaders from New Jersey on the show. We've heard so many interesting things.
Yeah,
well,
we had Nicole. Jersey gets a bad rep sometimes, but honestly, it's awesome. I love Jersey.
No, I do too.
I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. Like, in fact, that's my New Year's plan tonight is with my kids to watch Bruce Springsteen on Broadway on Netflix.
That's, oh, fun.
Hold on, what?
That's my big New Year's plan.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
That's fun.
I'm in.
We're going to Netflix and chill. And I think the older two will have a party to go to, which kind of freaks me out a little bit. But that's my big New Year's plan. Do you have any, I'll start with you, Danielle. What are your... Do you do resolutions? And if you do, do you have any?
So my resolution is more about actually, you know, just thinking of a word that represents the year. And so this year is all about confidence, where it's just walking into 2019, super confident, trusting the process and, you know, just believing in everything. And that's my, you know, quote resolution, but word for the year.
Awesome.
Love that. I'm going to steal that.
It's like a mantra, like a word to repeat.
Confidence.
Right. Yeah. No, I was trying to think of a word, you know, that just will represent the year and just, you know, looking back on 2018 and into 2019. And there were so many great things going on and just being confident about it and, you know, letting it happen.
I always quote Oprah. I know.
I love Oprah.
But she has this wonderful thing about it's a clip. I couldn't tell you what it was, but she was talking about confidence and she was saying how anytime she had to teach herself, like when she would go into these board meetings and she was not only the only woman, but the only Black woman, you know, like when it was an opportunity for her not to feel confident, she would, like, before she would walk in, she would imagine herself with like all the women who have lived before her, who, don't have that opportunity. And the way she describes it just fills her up with confidence. So she would walk mm-hmm. into that room with like the spirit of all those women yes. with her. And that has always stuck with me. Like if I am going into a situation I'm nervous about, I'm like that kid from that movie walking in with a bunch of dead people. But no, that's a great, I love that confidence.
Oh, that's
awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, even honestly, you know, walking into competition or, you know, taking the mat, it's just having the confidence and then you'll be able to rock it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think mine is maybe more a little more generic. It's still the eat better, do more.
Mm-hmm. Do more. Do more, like what?
Like more physically. Like,
exercise wise.
Like, being a cheerleader for as long as I have been, the only real good workout I get is like being on the floor. So I really want to start tumbling more. And, and I think we have the perfect person to
help me out
with my
bottom tumbling workouts and all that
those lower abs. I need to help flip over and snap down.
You could be a Cheer Fit coach ambassador.
Oh, yes,
done.
I used to do like 12 resolution. Like I was one of those people that would get like the new marker and the new journal, like in December, and make all these like grandiose plans for the next year. And then like by January 12th, I would feel like a failure. Yeah, go ahead, Danielle.
Yeah, no, they say January 21st is the third week of January, where it's one of the most depressing days of the year because people realize their resolutions aren't working. But honestly, it's all about just setting, you know, SMART goals. So yeah. They're more just strategic and reliable and timely. And when you have those incremental goals and you see that success and you celebrate the little victories, that's where you start, you know, building that momentum and, you know, keep it going.
Yeah. I stopped that. That was like in my 30s. I was like, I don't like to feel like a loser. So I stopped. I went for a few years without resolutions. And now I'm back and sort of like you, Danielle, I have more like a mantra, like what's my phrase or, you mm-hmm. know, the spirit of the year. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's going to sound really woo woo and, you know, but it's really just to love myself. I'm just going to, 2019 is about me.
Amen.
That's awesome. Amen. I love it.
I'm going to be nice to myself. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to treat myself like the little baby.
Get this Louboutin we were just talking about.
But yeah, that's my 2019.
I love it.
So something I think that a lot of, at least the parents might be able to relate to, not the cheerleaders, is there might be a lot of them who are not in shape right now, who are maybe thinking they want to be healthy for mm-hmm. 2019. And I just wanted to add, I feel like I'm a particularly healthy person in my diet, in my mental, emotional game, and physically. But 2018, I fell off. I felt like, I think you both know, I think I was talking to both of you over the summer. My mom passed away in 2018 mm-hmm. and she was in hospice for a while and I was with her and it just kind of knocked me off of my health game. Like,
well, it's
and it's, I'm not asking for pity. It's a reasonable thing. You go through like a big shock and, you know, I wasn't pulling out my yoga mat. I wasn't meditating. My meditation game kind of got a little stronger, but I wasn't doing my best practices. I was kind mm-hmm. of just mm-hmm. existing through this, you know, moment in my life. So I can relate to a lot of, you know, I'm saying parents because and maybe coaches, some cheerleaders, of what I call it falling off the mat. A lot of people call it falling off, you know, like the treadmill mm-hmm. or the exercise regime or just being healthy. And I just want to reach out to the audience and say, that's so common. It is common for all of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. And it's just the beauty, I think, is getting back on. It sucks. Yeah. It's hard. But then, you know, the endorphins kick in, you get into mm-hmm. a routine and, you know, you start to see that jawline again.
The jaw again.
You fit into those pants without like the muffin top and you just, it, you know, it, the motivation, the momentum shifts. So right. That's where I am. And I think a lot of people might be with me. So I'm ready for 2019 to get back on the mat.
Yes.
Drink my water.
Yeah.
Go get my beet juice. I know it's nasty, but it makes your skin look so good.
Really?
It really does.
Really?
Really.
Beet juice. Can I just take a shot of it and it'd be fine?
Yeah, you could take a shot. There's so much to juice wise that, you know, you can
beets.
Do.
I remember beets from like preschool. Yeah. And they were like cut in the little plastic cup and just like smelling them. Oh my gosh. But I mean, if it's going to make my
there's
skin
so
perfect.
Then. yeah, I love a good juice. So hopefully this episode will motivate parents, coaches, and cheerleaders
somebody.
Alike to, you know, get back on that mat and,
yes.
and try
Let's
to
do it in 2019.
So that's my resolution, is just to love myself and, you know.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love it.
So we've got a lot of questions to get through. So this is going to be our segment for our question segments, yeah. but we're going to just try to answer them as best we can. A couple of the ones were duplicates from that Danielle got that we got.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make sure to hit those. I'll leave the exercise ones, the coaches ones, more to you, Marcus and Danielle. All right. Are you ready for some questions?
Let's do this.
Okay. Let us start. I'm going to start with the one. This is a cheerleading related one. Is it only flyers that do needles? Pretty much.
I mean, I've seen some pretty flexible back spots.
Okay.
maybe in the dance. Everyone can be flexible.
Everyone can be flexible. Right. Okay. So we both got questions about needles. And I know the one I got, it was phrased, how do I get the perfect needle? And that made me think of Ryan Cummings. I'm like, I don't know. Ask her.
Stretch.
So what advice do you have, Danielle? We'll start with you and then we'll round robin our way through this.
We get this question a ton, and flexibility is huge. You know, having a needle is definitely an advanced skill that so many cheerleaders want to get to. And where I offer a different perspective is in the fitness approach. So yes, stretching is super important to get your needle, and you know, you have to really stretch those muscles to increase the range of motion. But where I step in is I offer exercises to strengthen the muscles that you need to increase your flexibility. So it's not just about stretching, where, you know, stretching is important, but stretching isn't the only thing. So my advice is really to focus on the exercises that strengthen the muscles, such as your lower back, your hip flexors, your core, your hamstrings, that then strengthening those muscles will increase your range of motion, in turn helping your flexibility. So definitely focusing on we have like single leg deadlifts are a great exercise, or hip raisers are a great exercise, focusing on your hamstrings and your lower back. And doing those type of exercises in turn will help strengthen and get your needle.
Danielle, did you drink a lot of coffee this morning? Your energy just across the like mic right now. I'm looking at Marcus like, wow, she's like awake.
I know.
Yeah, I think we're just sluggish.
A morning person.
Are you? Yeah. Oh, you are blessed. That is so good.
Used to be.
For our audience.
People, yeah. When I get excited, I talk pretty fast. And then people just, you know, look at me and they're like, you were a cheerleader, right? Like, yeah. How did you know?
We're listening to your answer. I'm just looking at him like, pass me my coffee.
In slow motion.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you, Marcus, do a lot of privates about flexibility.
Yes.
So what flexibility stretches would you?
There's one that I've shown to a couple girls, and it has been pretty successful. Just like leaning up on a wall and then kicking your like needle up, kicking your needle leg up and trying to like kick the wall that you're like leaning on, like backwards. Just doing that a couple times. Do it on both legs so it's like even. But I showed that to one of my girls, and then like the next week she was like, Coach Marcus, look, and it was like gorgeous. So That's for Kick Up Scorpion. Needle, you're going to have to stretch to get that leg straight. But Kick Up Scorpion, that's like always the first part.
The only thing I have to add, again, not being a cheerleader and having absolutely no coaching experience, but as a yoga person, I will say that you have to do it over time.
Like, yes, it is not going to happen in one day.
Don't, if you're starting today, you're not going to have, I mean, some people are born naturally flexible, mm-hmm. but to maintain it, to get it and maintain it, it's a practice.
Yes.
You've got to,
yeah.
Flexibility, you can trust me on this. You can
say that one more time for the people in the back.
You can lose it. You'll come back. I do have that point of reference that, you know, muscle memory after mm-hmm. some time, it'll come back. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But as you get older, you will lose it. If you don't use it, you will lose it.
Yes.
Yes. No, yes. Definitely. They say it takes about 4 to 6 weeks to, you know, gain a skill, gain flexibility, and only 2 weeks to lose it. So you definitely have to, you know, keep up at it to keep those, you know, keep flexible and keep strong and, you know, just keep at and keep improving.
4 to 6 weeks. That is good to know.
It makes me feel better. Like, okay, I can do this. I can get back.
4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. It's that first week when you've been fall mm-hmm. off. That's just.
And then going into that second week sore, you're like, forget this.
Well, the soreness, I don't mind. It's the first week. Cause in my head, my head
being sore.
The first week is it my head. Because in my head, I'm still 20, and I have the flexibility of a 20-year-old.
Same.
And so when my body's reminding me that I'm not 20, it's just, I want to go into the fetal position and give up. All right, next question. This is another common one we get. So this would be great. This is jumps. Mm. How do we mm-hmm. improve our jumps? So Danielle, you can go first.
All right. So again, yeah, jumps are all about, you know, building the strength in your lower body and building that explosiveness. So really focusing on exercises that are called plyometric exercises, which again are jump exercises. So focusing on, you know, jump squats or alternating split lunges, which are, you know, splitting your legs and jumping from side to side, or burpees even. Focusing on exercises that are going to build that explosiveness in your lower body so that you can increase your jump height. And then with that, you know, comes the technique and the strength to, you know, have nice motions, clean lines. But it all really comes from the explosiveness first of your jumps to get that nice height. So I would definitely do, you know, burpees or jump squats. 10 reps times 3 rounds are an awesome go-to.
Sweet.
Okay. In my gym, we work on, for jumps, we do, we call them snap-ups, where you're laying on your back. And you go 5, 6, 7, 8 on one. We like snap up in a straddle and like touch mm-hmm. the floor in front, then go back and then do it again. On go 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, back 3, 4, up 5, 6, back 7, 8. Then we hold an 8 count in mm-hmm. in the straddle and then we lay back. None of which, like your shoulders or your head, are on the ground. It's just really like your back, your feet aren't on the ground. Mm-hmm. So you're really working on your core.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say core too is really important, and it's your powerhouse. So the stronger your core, the stronger everything else will be. So that's awesome. You guys are working on that core strength because that too, you know, just activates everything.
And I also went to Varsity U in Louisville this summer, and I took a bunch of jump classes, and one of them, I started to become like a really big fan of just seated toe touches, just feet together mm-hmm. and then clapping 1, 2, swing 3, hit that toe touch on 4 and like making sure your like hips are rolled back, your toes are pointed, and your knees are facing behind you, shoelaces, making sure like your body and your legs are all in the right spot. So when you do like stand up and do it the right way, like you're like it kind of happens naturally.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I have nothing to add to jumps except point your toes, because for a spectator, like or maybe it's my ballet background, yes. that annoys me.
When no, I, absolutely.
Like, oh, yeah.
just like point your toes. It's
absolutely.
Like, you're doing all this other stuff, you can point your toes. So. That's all I got. Okay, the next one is... did you see this before I move on from jumps? I don't know what this was. It was some sort of like YouTube I don't know if it was a meme or something, but I think it became a meme. Some girl, I guess, was criticized for not pointing her toes in jumps. And so she, I think she was like collegiate cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And then she, in response to that, she said something like, well, I did All-Star.
Oh,
did you see that? I did All-Star. Was, and we weren't taught to point our toes. And then everyone just commented,
we went
like,
wild. I saw that on the ASGA. So you know what I'm... Yes. She was trying out for Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Show notes.
Show notes. That was my only point of reference.
I'll see that. Yes.
And like, everyone just kind of like jumped on her, like, cause she tries to blame it on All-Star training that she was not taught to point her toes.
Yeah.
Like, a couple of coaches was like, what gym did you come from? So
right,
we know.
Yeah. Where's that one?
Yeah, I have to find that and put that in the show notes. Okay. The next one is back handsprings.
Ooh.
Is that level two? I have to whisper.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting it, Marcus. Okay, so that comes into level two, right? Yeah. I have seen girls struggle with, like, this is something I feel like the new girls kind of mm-hmm. struggle with. Like, I may stay mm-hmm. here mm-hmm. for a bit before they move on.
No, absolutely.
Again, I have nothing to offer besides that observation.
I think it's just the fear of mm-hmm. like jumping backwards, because you're already right. going backwards, like backbend kickovers and back walkovers. I think it's the fear of jumping backwards to your hands and to your mm-hmm. arms, and not trusting your arms. I'm struggling with that now. Like, I hate backhand. Oh my goodness, I hate backhand springs. But like, you have to do them. You have to do them. So I think that one is more like, I'm gonna say 75% fear, 25% mm-hmm. 75% mental, 25% physical.
Yeah. And I would definitely agree. I think, you know, it's really that fear of going backwards. And a couple of things which add to that is that sometimes, you know, cheerleaders want to, you know, keep advancing, so they progress pretty quickly. But, you know, getting the back handspring, if they don't have that solid foundation, they don't have the strength in their upper body mm-hmm. and the flexibility to go backwards, but yet they're progressing and trying to get to that skill, that ultimately will then lead in a mental block, because they're trying something and they're, you know, building up that fear and getting those negative thoughts creeping up. And then that will, you know, cause that block completely. And it's really about, you know, building the structure and the foundation before ever doing a back handspring, strengthening your arms, building that flexibility, you know, working on the foundational skills before moving up to the back handspring, so that you're strong enough, exactly like Marcus said, you know, mentally and physically. And a couple, you know, great tips that I have for just kind of, you know, believing in yourself and just trusting the process and knowing that you're strong enough is, you know, doing some of the cheer fit exercises, of course, will help build that physical strength. But then also, it's called a mountain climber challenge buster, which is really great if you're, you know, struggling with a mental block or, you know, nervous of going backwards in your back handspring, is basically just doing a mountain climber, mm-hmm. which is bringing your nose to your knee and, you know, moving your legs pretty quickly. And as you're doing that, just thinking about the goals, thinking about, you know, visualizing the process and getting yourself, you know, hyped up and excited. Then you stand up, you shake it off, and it's more just not thinking about the skill that will then help you do the skill.
Ooh, cool.
Nice.
I have a question about back handsprings. When the girl's legs are longer than, or I feel like when they have a growth spurt or something, or they have long mm-hmm. legs, mm-hmm. I'm not speaking about any cheerleader specifically. they're like legs separate. It looks like a frog when mm-hmm. they have the motions, the back handsprings, yeah. but it doesn't look as clean right. as, you know, one would like. What is that? Just body mechanics? Is that, you know, stop teaching yourself stuff in the backyard?
No, I think it's just learning about the different muscles and different body parts that you have to squeeze during any type of physical anything. And I think going into a back handspring, we're worried about like not landing on our head. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking more about our arms, and then our lower half mm-hmm. is just kind of like on the back burner. Mm-hmm. But I think like the more comfortable you get with it,
yeah.
The easier it is to take a little bit off of your arms and then push that more down to your abs so you can work on snap down. And then when that gets more comfortable, push that a little more further and then working on like squeezing from your thighs to like your big toes and just squeezing that all the way through.
Yeah, definitely. And especially, you know, if you have a growth spurt, then it's a different body, you know, and you have to get used to that. Yeah. And the different timing and, you know, just the different, you're going to go back a different time than if you were, you know, before the growth spurt. So it's just getting used to that and again, building that foundation and then really focusing on your core strength and squeezing, because that will keep your legs together and tighter and just, you know, the better foundation.
Awesome. Okay. This one is more of a team question. Mm-hmm. Team conditioning, like what mm-hmm. is the optimal, how much conditioning should teams be doing? I don't know if it's at this point in the season or just overall. Mm-hmm. Does it range?
We condition.
Yeah.
We totally, absolutely condition more in the summer.
Right.
To get ready for like routine camp and then obviously competition season. But all of my teams absolutely condition every single practice.
Which is so important because honestly, you know, conditioning, the number one thing, especially with CheerFit, is making conditioning, you know, a positive experience. And I just hate, you know, if you drop a skill, then you have to go do push-ups. And it's more turning conditioning into a positive thing because mm-hmm. honestly, that helps your team. The stronger your team, the better you're going to perform, the more you're going to hit your stunts, the better your skills and tumbling and advancements are going to be. So, you know, really focusing on conditioning as a positive thing, doing it together as a team is awesome because you're building that bond, a team that sweats together, wins together, you know, you're just having fun with it and you're doing it together as a community, motivating each other. And then definitely, you know, focusing on conditioning more in the off season because that's the time that you're strengthening your body for where we are today for that competition season where your body needs time to rest. And, you know, with practice and competition, you can't condition 24/7, nor should you, but you really should be focusing on, you know, still keeping that foundation and, you know, doing the exercises, but the main, the conditioning, you know, as you're going more intense into it is really in the off season when your body has that time to rest in between.
I just observationally, I always kind of notice at the end of the routine when I'm, you know, at a competition and I'm mm-hmm. watching, and also now when I watch it, like on varsity TV, when I watch, you mm-hmm. know, the level 5 teams.
Yeah.
How hard they're breathing at the end. And you can tell mm-hmm. who's yeah. like, I'm like, that's a conditioned team. Y'all are not so conditioned. Because there's some teams that do amazing things and they're like, you know, they're breathing like they just worked out for 2 minutes and 30 seconds, but they're not dying. Like, they're not mm-hmm. dying. And there's others that are like...
yeah, the thing is fun. And then you could actually absolutely tell the people that do stuff outside of the cheer gym, like on their own. Mm-hmm. And then the people that like... just come into a 2-hour practice twice a week.
I mean, on social media, I think something that puts cheerleading, gives it that unique sport feel, I feel, than other sports is, at least I see it, and I definitely see it with your group of girls, Danielle, is they work out a lot. I'm not saying all, mm-hmm. but you see it on social media. They're training, they're practicing outside the gym. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people practice for hours, it seems like. They're just mm-hmm. obsessed. They're stretching. They, you know, mm-hmm. it's not something I necessarily you'll see like in other after school sports so much in such great numbers, I feel. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people within this industry do, you know, condition themselves.
Yes.
So that's kind of cool.
The key to that too, you know, is just having a plan. And you know, that's with anything in general, but with fitness especially, if, you know, we all know fitness is important, but if you walk into the gym and you don't know what to do or what exercises are focusing for cheerleading, for stunting and tumbling, you know, you don't want to waste time but you want to maximize those results. So having a plan, and that's too with the CheerFit Club, is just a new, you know, cheer workout each and every week specific to the muscles of cheerleading, which are, you know, so different than any other sport. You're not throwing a basketball, you're throwing a person. So it's really about, you know, having a plan to condition your body to keep up at the crazy elite level that cheerleading is today, where it's not, you know, what it used to be. And it's about conditioning your body and having that plan and what exercises are going to help you prevent injury and strengthen and advance so that you can, you know, continue to do so.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. I got three more interesting questions.
All right.
This one made me laugh. This one came in to me. This was should coaches be in shape? And I laughed and I thought to put it in. Because I was telling Marcus about this, like if I don't go to I don't go to a yoga studio anymore to study yoga. I've done it for so long. I went to India. I've studied mm-hmm. with gurus, you know, so I can't go in. I mean, I sound totally elitist saying this, but I can't go in to someone who just, you know, got their certification.
Got their certificate.
You know, 2 weeks ago, and I won't get my yoga. I won't get the practice that I need. So I kind of mm-hmm. do my self-study. But if I go to a gym and I'm taking a class, a Zumba class, or, you know, a PowerFit class, and the
unknown caller.
Oop, that's me. if they are not in shape, or if I think that I'm more in shape, I just kind of check out.
Because you're saying that.
So when I saw this question, I was like, yeah, the coaches should be in shape too. Like, I think if you're asking your team, if you're conditioning and stuff like that, they should, you know, I think you set the tone. Does that make
right?
Is that
I understand that. Yeah. I totally understand that. When we condition in our gym, I won't do all the exercises, but I'll do it. One, to see if I can do it. And then two, to show the team that, like, hey, I'm doing it too. I'm trying to make it look easy. here, try it out. Yeah. Do you like my body type thing? Do I think a coach should be in shape? I don't think a coach has to be in shape. I feel like,
it sort of reminds me of, like, did you ever see Dance Moms?
Yes.
And what?
Abby.
Abby. She's, and she was, like, you know, it's sort of like.
But apparently she was awesome. I want to see those videos.
I know. What do you think, Daniel? Do you think that a coach should, you know, I don't know if they need to be stunting or, you know.
Right. Yeah. No. And I think, you know, it's leading by example. I think they should definitely be participating and, you know, doing some of the exercises with their team. Of course, their body isn't going to be at the same place that a, you know, 12 to 15 year old athlete is. So it's a very different, you know, comparing apples to oranges. But I would definitely, you know, recommend that they do the exercises to the levels that they can with their team, and really leading by example and motivating them, getting, because if their team sees the coaches doing it with them, then it really just shows that they're, you know, in it together and motivating them and inspiring them. And that leadership role, which is what a coach is.
Yeah. I laughed at that question. I thought it was I thought it was a good one to
and if the in. Coach isn't participating, hopefully the team believes that the coach has done this before and believes that the coach can do it.
Yeah. When I was in when I studied ballet when I was in my youth, like it was the Russian style ballet, so it was super super strict. Mm-hmm. And the last two teachers I had were magnificent dancers in their time, and they didn't like necessarily dance when they were teaching us. It was all verbal, their mm-hmm. teaching, or, you know, yeah, verbal, a little pushing maybe, but
with the cane.
But they were always in shape. That's when they were walking around and I'm talking like 60, 70 year old mm-hmm. women, just mm-hmm. like, and I think that probably did have an effect on me. Like, if this woman can still, you know, raise her leg, you know, to her head, I'm going to try a little harder myself.
My dance teacher in high school, I went to the academy in Myrtle Beach and I was a dance major. And my teacher was, I would say, like late 40s, early 50s. And And I'm pretty sure she also studied like a Russian style ballet, and she was a beautiful dancer, and like, and she did like move with us, and she would stretch with us, and she was in her 50s, like doing middle splits still. And I was like, I'm 16 and I've been stretching for years and I can't do this. How?
Yeah. I when I got the question, I could see it. Cause I've had that thought myself, like not in cheerleading, but in like my personal, like I'm not going to hire a personal trainer who.
Right. Yeah. No, leading by example and practicing what you're teaching and, you know, just.
Yeah.
Leading. Yeah.
Okay. So I got two more. The next one, mental blocks. And we, you know, Marcus and I, I feel like we've talked about this a while. Mm-hmm. This one came to me specifically and it was asking me about meditation because I kind of have mentioned meditation for a while. And then I'll talk about it a little bit and then you guys can add what you have. So they asked me about meditation. So, what I'll say about meditation is I think there's a misnomer in American culture about it. I think people think you have to be sitting cross-legged, eyes closed, you know, with your hand in a mudra and completely not thinking about anything. That is a form of meditation, but it's one of infinite forms. Yeah. There's literally, meditation, I feel, is like a fingerprint. It's personal. You find the one that works for you. And I do think it's important. I think everyone should do it. And in sports, professional athletes in football, basketball, championship teams in college have introduced meditation into their practices. So it's something that's become much more popular in the last few years. Because there's science now that has shown people or gives people some sort of proof that this isn't some woo-woo, you know, crazy thing. It's actually improves performance. Yeah. And there's this one, the coach, he coached the Chicago Bulls during their winning years during the Michael Jordan. And then he moved to the Lakers. I can't think of his name right now. Just the fact that I even said that, I'm really impressed with myself. but he wrote this book and he grew up as a fundamentalist Christian and then studied Buddhism. And you can be both. Buddhism is not a religion. You can be Catholic and a Buddhist or Christian and a Buddhist. But he took that and took some of those practices and brought it to the Chicago Bulls and the Lakers. And he wrote this great book, which I would recommend to all coaches to read, about building teams and how quieting the mind, because what meditation is or how I can address it to mental blocks is there is a subconscious tape playing in everybody's mind. It's not something that it's not like you're aware of it, but something is playing constantly on a loop.
She never stops.
And 90% of those thoughts are the same exact thoughts day after and day after. And of those thoughts, many of them can be negative. And so your reality might be you're with your friends, you're watching a movie, you're watching Bird Box because everyone's watching Bird Box. And you're in having this moment, but your subconscious could be totally bringing up something that's not true. Like, oh, that person looked at me funny and, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm not good. Like it starts to mess with your mind, your space. That's where meditation kind of comes in. Because if you have a meditation practice, you start to recognize that subconscious voice and be like, oh no, that's not real.
Yeah.
I'm here with my friends having a great time. And meditation helps you recognize that subconscious voice for what it is, which is nothing. It was created to protect you in some sort of psychological way, but it's not real. It's not helpful and it doesn't motivate you. And that's when you have a meditation practice, it will help you distinguish that. It'll help you distinguish, oh, that's drama. I don't want any of that.
Step away.
Oh, this person, you know, makes me feel really bad about myself. I don't want them in my life. It kind of
the opposite way.
Yeah, it kind of meditation just kind of helps you be in your body, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
And one of the things I love about cheerleading, and I feel I can relate to it, is when you talk to these elite athletes or you see these elite athletes, they're in their body. They are mentally in their body. So when people talk to me about mental blocks, I always say, start a meditation practice. And that doesn't mean sitting there for 20 minutes. There's infinite ways. Runners right. meditate. A lot of people have a huge commute. This sounds crazy, but they're meditating. When you are driving and you're not paying attention, but you know exactly where you're going and you kind of zone out, that's a meditative state.
Walking. That's many times.
Yeah, walking in nature is a meditative state. Mm-hmm. Anything that gets you to a point where you're not listening to that tape rolling in your head is a meditative right. state. And as long as you're getting into a meditative state every single day, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, it will make a huge difference in your life.
That's so awesome.
Definitely, hey, yeah.
Can I add that to my New Year's resolution?
Yeah.
I want to meditate more and just like be...
And the thing is, there's infinite ways to do it. I have three kids. It would be crazy for me to recommend to all three of them to meditate the same way.
Yeah.
My little one is not going to meditate the way that I might meditate. I have a friend who I recently... I was like, you need to light a candle in the morning and just sit there and look at the candle. And she started doing it. She's like completely in love with it. She does it for 5 minutes a day. She says a prayer. Then she looks and she just, it calms her down. And when you have that sense of calm right. for the rest of your day, you remember, you're like, oh, it's sort of like, oh, I want to go back to that place of calm. So all the craziness that life throws at you. You have more like, you have like Wonder Woman.
Superpowers.
You're like, nah, I'm going to stay calm today. So that's what I would do. I would, for mental blocks, for anyone who wants to start a meditation practice, YouTube is a wonderful, wonderful tool. there's several different ways. Find what works for you. There's TM, which is 20 minutes a day. You sit in a chair, you repeat something, a word, a mantra over and over and over again. There's running, the runner's high. That's that meditative state. Yoga, moving meditations. I think when you guys probably repeat your routines over and over again, when it's just routine, that's an opportunity, you know. So that's what I would say for mental blocks overall. If you're suffering from them, you're probably in your head a lot. And probably a meditation practice would help. I would say that universally for anyone. And I know the fact is, the more the idea of a meditation practice scaring you tells me you need it more.
I definitely agree. Meditation, just because it gives you a different outlook and a different mindset. And that's what it's all about, is just, you know, looking at a situation differently and reacting differently and putting a better perspective on things.
Mental blocks. You don't have to talk about meditation.
Also, just a couple quick tips for mental blocks, which kind of goes in line of, you know, the mindset, is I love, you know, just telling, it's a quick tip that you can keep in your back pocket, is just to focus. If you're, you know, doing the mental block or doing, you know, going for the back handspring or going for the tuck, and you just are building up that frustration, getting yourself worked up. One thing is to, you know, shake it off and really just do the mountain climbers, which I talked about before. Mm-hmm. And another tip is smiling. And honestly, if you tell an athlete to focus on smiling instead of doing the skill that they're, you know, trying and thinking so hard about, instead of, you know, thinking about that back handspring, focus on smiling. And smiling is a natural endorphin, which will just help boost your mood. So by focusing on smiling, when you're thinking about that, your mind is, you know, taken off of thinking about the frustration, the back handspring, telling yourself, I can't do this, getting out of your head with those negative thoughts, focusing on smiling, and then just having them, you know, smile throughout the whole back handspring or the whole tuck. They'll be focusing on that, and they won't even realize that they just did the skill.
That's excellent.
I'm going to try that.
Most people.
Yeah, no, it honestly, like, even just sit there, everyone listening right now, just sit there and smile. And it honestly just changes the mood and just puts a different perspective on things.
Yeah, that's excellent. No, I totally think that, because I could, what you put your, it's like, it's physics, which again, I'm shocked that I'm using science as a code here. But what you put your, what you focus on, you give more energy to. Whatever you, whatever energy you give to something expands. So if you're, excuse me, focusing on the negative, on the hardship of not being able to do the stunt, you're going to keep being in that space. That's just going to grow. Yeah. But if you focus on, like she said, smiling or something else, that's a really good idea. That, I mean, I don't have mental blocks like that, but
no, I love
and it's
that.
Just such an easy thing that you can keep in your back pocket. It's not something that, you know, it's just, hey, wait, stop, smile. Okay, let's do it.
And you know, this is not so much about mental blocks, but another best practice. Excuse me, I feel like I have to. Excuse me.
Do a good nasty one, Joe.
Excuse me. But another best practice in elite athletes, excuse me, across all different industries is visualization.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Huge stats on this, huge numbers on it. Again, you know, professional football players, professional basketball players have started incorporating this into their practices, which is they have found a connection. And visualization isn't just imagining the routine, let's say for cheerleaders. It's not just, you know, visualizing the routine. It's visualizing doing the routine the best way, like hitting, like winning worlds,
right.
Whatever
right.
Visualization. It's not just thinking about the mental picture, but it's the feelings that you generate as you're visualizing. Like you're visualizing hitting it. You're feeling how it feels to hit
yes.
that jump. Feel how it hits the pyramid, the
yeah.
stunt, the tumbling.
Yeah.
That's an incredible best practice to incorporate into your
yes.
into your life.
Definitely agree.
Because it's sort of like the same theory of muscle memory, mm-hmm. but emotional memory.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're out there, that, you know, their mind doesn't know what's real or what's not. So it'll remember to be like, oh, this is how it feels when I hit.
Yeah.
So visualization.
Yeah, we do that, yeah. especially like the week before like our first competition or like a really big competition. We'll like turn off like half the lights and just have them like listen to the music, like all in a circle, like, and with like eyes closed and like watching their routine with them in it and just seeing everything hit. That's
excellent.
Yeah. And then,
yeah, I know that's awesome.
Sometimes I even like play A Moment Like This by Kelly Clarkson, like for yeah. awards, for the award session. And then like that
aww.
Big moment like this. And then we won and it's like, oh my God, where's my jacket?
That's awesome.
I love it.
Okay. So the last question, we have for this segment, excuse me, is diet for cheerleaders,
ooh.
A diet on competition day. So I figure we could talk about diet in general for, you know, coaches and parents and me. and then specific to cheerleaders and then specific to competition day. So generic diet stuff, I
will be honest, and I am the worst person to talk to about this. So, as y'all are talking, I'm going to be taking some notes.
Well, I was going to say, I know what works for me. I can't give advice to other people. What I've learned over my lifetime is what works for me. Like, I know my body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't give it. I mean, look at me. I'm in Christmas socks, pajamas, and a sweatshirt right now. But I will say what works for me, one is water.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if I increase my water consumption, everything in my life just works out better. Two is sugar. If I minimize sugar, which I'm not at the current moment or have been for about 6 months, but sugar, again, and it's something I know that when I get it out of my system, like if I what I call get my clean, like I detox and then I'm fine, you know. But I realize how addictive I was to sugar when I've cleaned it out of my body.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, oh my gosh, everything tastes like sugar after
yeah.
that. And small meals is really, you know, like five small meals works for me, you know. Again, I'm not practicing this at the moment, but that I feel like I know how I can get myself into shape very quickly. I don't know for other people. I'm not a fad diet kind of person.
Yeah, and those don't work either. You know, it's more just everyone's different, and everyone, you know, different things work for different people. And honestly, it's just making it part of your lifestyle and more of the 80-20 rule, where you're not going to be super strict and not have anything, because that's not realistic. You can't keep that for, you know, your whole lifestyle, where it's just eating in moderation and doing the 80-20 rule, where 80% of the time, you know, you're eating clean and you're feeling good, and 20% of the time you do let yourself, you know, enjoy the sweets and the cookies and everything, because that's what your body wants too. And if you're not letting your body have what it wants, it's constantly going to be thinking about that, and then in turn, you know, more do a downward spiral. So it's just making it a lifestyle, and 80-20 rule is definitely a good path to follow.
I would say, like, if you're going to have a piece of cake, enjoy the heck out of that cake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put because some ice cream on it.
If you avoid the cake and you think, you know, then you eat, this is what I do at least, I eat around the cake. I won't have the cake
and then.
At the
end, you still want it, yeah. So you're still going to have it, and then you had everything else.
And then I'll have it, to be honest with you, I'll have it and then just feel guilty about it. So just stop the guilt, start off and, you know, have a balanced life that you can have the cake and enjoy it. diet for cheerleaders. Yeah. That's a great question, I know, because a lot of parents, I would say most probably, struggle with dinner for kids because they're at the gym all the time.
Right.
You know, and
Chick-fil-A for dinner.
Yeah. It's fast food. It's, you know, very few families do the food prep. Some do, I know, what to feed. I mean, it's a struggle. It really is a struggle. I'm not thinking so much nutritionally at that point. I'm thinking,
Get something
in her stomach. Exactly.
Yeah.
Any suggestions for that, Danielle?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, easier said than done. It's definitely about the prepping and having things available and, you know, there so that when they finish practice, you know, you just have something. It's really important for athletes and cheerleaders to really fuel their bodies, because, you know, cheerleading is so elite now, and you're practicing so hard and you're conditioning your body and you're working, you know, all those muscles. You really need to, you know, fuel them right after practice with proteins and, you know, food that's going to really help keep them up at that level and prevent injury and things like that. So prepping is awesome if you can do that. You know, otherwise just thinking of those foods that are fueling their body and focusing more on the proteins afterwards, to really just nourish their bodies with all the muscles that they work at practice.
So can we expand on that a little bit? So you're saying like the protein should come after the workout or after the practice or after the
Yeah, because that's when you're working the muscles, and then you need to fuel those muscles back with protein. So that's what you would have afterwards, and more of the, you know, healthy carbs and sugars or fruits, because they give you energy before practice.
Okay, cool. We struggle with this whole, you know, cheerleading a pageantry kind of thing sometimes. And one of the moments, or some of the moments that I do kind of feel like, oh, I'm in a pageantry world, is when I've seen parents give their kids like a Mountain Dew right before a performance, or I've seen like the sugar stick, you know,
or when they walk into my warm up room with a Mountain Dew. Ooh, don't you dare!
And so I understand the thought process behind that. I understand, you know, they're trying to, you know, give them a little sugar. Hi. Sorry.
Well, sugars, though, you can do more with like healthy sugar. So like fruits have sugars, but it's a better form of sugar. So that's definitely something that's, you know, better for you.
Yeah.
I know in the past we talked about like those little gift bags that you get at the end of like when a team like gets off the floor. I want to say it was last year. That's not gonna matter. But a family made like little fruit kebabs. And I would, like, she had, like, one of those, like, jumbo baggies, and I wish I had some more. But, like, they were so good. Like, I think I ate maybe, like, two or three. Yeah. And I was just like, fruit is everything. Fruit is so underrated.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And it's just prepping and having it available. If it's available, that's what you'll have first. If it's not, then you won't, you know. It's just making that, again, part of your lifestyle, and doing, you know, having everyone together and helping prep on Sundays for the week and just packaging it all up, and then you have it. And once it becomes routine, with like anything, it becomes more normal, and then it's just part of your daily, you know, brushing your teeth on Sundays, we're prepping.
Yeah. I'm going to say something that's going to be a bit controversial, but you know that Gatorade is banned in countries outside of the United States?
Why?
It's the coloring in it is a known, I don't want to use the wrong phrase, not toxin, but carcinogen. Like, it's known mm-hmm. to be super bad for you. And
mm-hmm. and where?
Like, in the United Kingdom, it's not, we have UK and Australian. I don't know about Australia, but I assume they're probably in the same. But here it's, you know, we promote it as like this healthy sports drink. In the rest of the world, it's not. It's literally bad, 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 bad.
Really?
Bad, especially the red one. So
that's the best one.
I know, and I did it too. But yeah, there's like, I don't know the exact number, but I know that there's 14 ingredients that are banned in the rest of the world. And I'm talking the rest of the world, not like, you know, that we consume very mm-hmm. commonly here in the United States, that are known to promote cancer, diabetes, and mm-hmm. Other horrible health tragedies. So Google it.
Oh, goodness.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. So diet for competition days. Do you have any suggestions for that?
That's all about the prepping too. Competition days are long, and you know, you want to just have things available that are healthier and that are going to fuel your body. So when you go hard for 2.5 minutes, you feel good doing so. And just, you know, packing things in your backpack that are snacks, that are things that you can take on the go. And just, again, you know, you have competition that weekend, coming together as a family and prepping, or doing, you know, just having little bags of nuts or fruit or, you know, snacks available, that way you can fuel your body throughout the day, because they are such long days. And, you know, you need to, cheerleading super elite, and you need to fuel your body, and you need to be eating to be able to keep up with that level.
Yeah. And the food, I mean, the foods I've seen at competitions are far from healthy, and the healthy options are nasty. Like, in my I'm speaking in my opinion.
Yeah, no, there's not much offered where there definitely should be, and that's why it's so important just to bring your own and prep. And I know it's easier said than done, and you know, there's barely time for anything as it is, but just by incorporating that, you know, one prep day into your schedule will help with the rest of the week, and ultimately help with energy and, you know, time down the road, because you're going to have more energy, you'll have more time.
Yeah. Have you ever done any of those boxes? I haven't, so I don't have any, like, HelloFresh or I don't know.
Oh, and they send you, like, all the ingredients? Yeah. No, I haven't. I have a friend that has, and she, like, mm-hmm. really liked it.
Yeah. I've done Good Eats. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, okay. When I need to, like, start, when I need to begin a detox, like retrain myself, I'll do Good Eats, where I'll buy like a week's worth of already prepped food, you know, uh-huh. But I haven't done any of the boxes, but I've seen, you know, that they have some. The thing with me with diet, and I'm going to be very gloomy right now, but I feel like our food supply is so bad right now. Yeah. Just from the soil, just going way back into, like, you know, that it really is time consuming and expensive to not, I shouldn't say that, I don't want to make it sound impossible, but to really eat healthy is you have to do it intentionally. You have to shop intentionally, plan, like mm-hmm. exactly what Daniel said, plan. I would be super, super, super healthy if I had like a chef. Like, I would be vegan. Yeah. I would be vegan and easy, like no problem. But it's convenience makes it so easy to be unhealthy.
Yeah.
You know, running to that practice, running late after days of work, it's so easy to go through that fast food line to just get something in their stomach. So I, you know, we're talking about it, but I'm not preaching about it because I'm not practicing it. but I do feel the struggle for everyone. It's But I think it's important. And I think the...
And even if you try it, you know, do it for... Not that you have to do it the entire week. Do it for 1 or 2 days of the week and start there. You know, it's not that you have to do 7 days. Okay. If we don't do it, then we fail.
Cold turkey.
Doing it 1 to 2 days a week, trying that. And then it'll just naturally, you know, and organically keep going.
Yeah. And like with anything, progress, not perfection.
Absolutely.
Even if you eat healthy 1 day a week, 2 days a week,
definitely.
One competition, you know, any little thing you do is always good. So, well, thank you so much for answering all those questions, Danielle.
That was awesome.
Yes, I love them.
They were great for the new year. And for everyone listening, I hope you have a wonderful new year and that you, you know, take the opportunity to be healthy. New year, new you. I hope it helped with that. You ready to do some rapid fire?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. You ready for rapid fire, Danielle? He's going to ask you.
I'm ready.
Oh, I'll put on my notebook.
His very, very fast questions.
My rapid, rapid fire. Okay. All right. So, Danielle, I just want to hear the first thing that pops in your head. Okay. We'll start super easy. Favorite color?
Orange.
Favorite movie?
God, honestly, I'm the worst. I don't watch movies. I just can't get into them. So I don't even know. I'm sorry.
Ooh, favorite exercise.
Ooh, I like, jump squats.
Do you have a favorite, like healthy snack?
Yogurt.
Ooh, what kind of yogurt? What flavor?
I like the vanilla or just plain Greek and putting fruit in it.
Yes, I thought you were going to say something crazy like blueberry or something. favorite musician?
I don't know. I don't know.
Ooh, that's that's a good one. That we can bring back for other people. Favorite song?
Oh God, this is terrible. So me with movies, celebrities, movies, TV shows, songs, I don't know. Like I like listening or watching, but I don't pay that much attention. I don't know. I'm not super into them. Fun fact about me, I thought there was someone super famous sitting right next to me. I would have no idea.
How about a favorite exercise personality?
Ooh.
I like personality.
If she says
it up, I don't know if people have heard of them, but they're like a fitness community for the fitness world, and I'm more of the fitness community for the cheer world. So I feel like there's a lot of similarity there.
Yeah,
oh, sweet. I was gonna say if she says Richard Simmons,
I love Richard Simmons.
I love Richard Simmons.
Love me some Richard Simmons.
The young children don't have any clue what
any
we're talking
idea.
About.
And please Show don't notes. Google him. And last one. What are you grateful for?
Just Cure Fit, honestly, and doing what I love to do and helping motivate and inspire people is awesome, where it's what I do full time and I love it. And I love that I'm grateful that I'm able to do so. So I'd say that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Thank you, Dan. Yes, you want to tell it. Our audience where they can find you and,
Yeah. Absolutely. So you can check us out on Instagram at CheerFitTraining or go to CheerFitTraining.com/join. And we would love to invite you guys to join the CheerFit Club and kick off 2019 CheerFit Strong, where as a member of the club, you get access to the community and hundreds of cheer workouts and exercises and motivation all to really help you, you know, kick off your best year and make 2019 your year. So I'd love to invite you guys to join the CheerFit Club. You could check it out again at CheerFitTraining.com/join or DM me on Instagram at CheerFitTraining. I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome.
And thank you. Yeah, so much, guys, for having me on the podcast today. I love just sharing tips and motivation and, you know, helping inspire others to just build and be confident mentally and physically through fitness.
Your voice alone makes me want to go work out.
Right. I'm so ready.
I'm so ready. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. She's our first return guest.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's our first return guest.
That's so exciting.
Yay.
Well, thank you so much for having me back. I feel so honored.
So thank you, Sean, the producer, for producing this for us.
Yes.
Thank you to all our listeners. We've had a huge growth spurt in the season. So to our new listeners, welcome. thank you for downloading the episodes.
Thank you to Will from Cheer Music Central for our music and our
intro.
Our intro.
And coming up, we've got Marcus fangirling.
Oh god. You still have to send me that one. Yes, we have little Miss KP Kenley Pope from Cheer Extreme.
She's coming up. We've got
Brandon Hale with Showtime Productions. So I'm super excited for these next interviews coming up.
Yeah. And we have some from what's the Top Gun? Large co-ed. Yeah. Sorry. It took me a long time I had to visualize the uniform first and then go through the... we have a lot coming up and we're super excited. And thank you all for taking us with you.
Whoop, whoop.
Hey there. This is Sean, the producer guy. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And while Marcus and Marisol cheer you on, please cheer them on by checking out the Cheer Bomb podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Or better yet, share this podcast. And if you want to ask Marcus and Marisol a question or get some advice, go to the Cheer Bomb website at cheerbomb.com, then click on M&M question. Who knows? Maybe it will be on the next episode. Have a great week.
Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders.